Before we go to prayer, and the Lord did say, my house shall be called a house of prayer, and certainly we want to have an emphasis on prayer, just a few devotional thoughts that I'd like to share with you from the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. The children of Israel are facing their enemies, the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, in this passage of Scripture. There's a true story that talks to us regarding the title of our message, Power in Praise. You know, there's power in praise. We can literally turn trials around, and when we learn to praise the name of the Lord, it can make all the difference in the world. We see that exemplified in the New Testament, and we also see that in the Old Testament as well. There was a little boy named Willie Myrick. He was a 9-year-old boy who was kidnapped from his driveway in Atlanta, Georgia. His story was featured on WXIA-TV and throughout the printed page in the newspapers of Atlanta. He was kidnapped from his driveway, and for hours he traveled in a car with his kidnapper. The little boy was terrified. He did not know what was to become of him. He was being taken down roads that he wasn't familiar with. He had no idea what would happen to him. But during that time, this 9-year-old boy named Willie, who definitely was a Christian, he had learned praise songs in his church. So he began singing a song entitled Every Praise. And he began singing the hymn about praising the Lord. As he repeatedly sang the words, his abductor began spewing profanity, began telling him that he needed to stop, that he refused to listen to that kind of thing. Finally, when he wouldn't stop, the man slammed his feet on the brake, opened up the door, and great expletives told the boy to get out. And the little boy ran out, ran as quickly as he could to the nearest shop, and got the help that he needed. The police were called. You know, Willie demonstrated something, a lesson that is exemplified in this portion of Scripture here in 2 Chronicles. And that is truly praising God in the midst of adversity. And praising God exemplifies God's character. We need to concentrate on who God is rather than the trial that is facing us, recognizing that God is in charge of all of our trials. Take a look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, just to peruse this concept of power in praise. In verses 1 and 2, the children of Israel are facing their enemies, the children of Moab and the children of Ammon. It says it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Engedi. You may feel this way as well, that you're surrounded with trials and testings, and you're facing a problem in your life. What's your response going to be? Well, in verses 3 through 13, Jehoshaphat responded with prayer. He fought the temptation to just fear. Oh, fear was there, just like you may have fear when you're faced with trials and testings. Notice verse 3. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all of the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. It's never too late. There's never any trial too great that we shouldn't take time to seek the face of the Lord. The devil would just love to have you respond out of fear and jump and react to adversity. But facing the problem in verses 1 and 2, we have his prayer in verses 3 through 13. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Lord, you're still there. And rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Do you recognize that God is greater than the problem that you're facing? God is greater than the trial. He is more powerful, and he is able to overcome the enemy. None is able to withstand thee. Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel? Gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? By the way, he saw the eternality and the duration of the Abrahamic covenant. They dwelt therein and have built for thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil comes upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But notice, our eyes are upon thee. That's his prayer. And he says, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And you know, your little ones, wives, and children are watching your response to the problem. And here, as leader, he responds to the problem of verses 1 and 2 by his prayer in verses 3 through 13. And then notice he claims the promise of God. Look at verses 15 through 17. And I might add that he mentions the promise. Here comes a prophet. Let's look at verse 14. Upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Ziel, and the son of Madaliah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And notice, we have a promise here in verses 15 through 17. Just like Jahaziel makes a prediction. What's his prediction? You guys aren't going to have to fight at all. You aren't going to have to fight at all. There's going to be provision made. And it says in verse 15, hearken ye all Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You remember last Sunday morning, we were looking at preparations for the Battle of Jericho. Who was it that Joshua first encountered before the battle? The captain, the divine captain, the Lord. The Lord needed to show Joshua that even though he was commander in chief, there was one greater than him than what that was really leading the battle. And you know, that battle that you're facing isn't just your battle, it's the Lord's battle. And he's going to give you strength to deliver you. Because the Word of God reminds us here, the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. And ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Zeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this. You know, it's interesting. Sounds like this great Lord here, through the prophet, the Lord has it all worked out. He knows all the details, where they're going to be, how they have to respond. How can that be? Romans 8:28. The Lord knows what you're facing. He knows what you're going through. He knows every detail. And just like Jesus was able to tell the disciples that you'll find a colt tied, and you, when they ask you what to do, this is what you have to answer them. The Lord is able to give you wisdom and grace and strength. He knows all the battle details. And it says this in verse 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and you shall see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still, and you'll see the salvation of the Lord. I want to give you three scriptures. I'm not going to take time to read them. But it has to do with standing still. And I want you to write them down. Because the battle that you're facing, we can fuss and we can squirm and we can, you know, go down the corridor of life kicking and screaming. But, you know, all of that energy is no more than riding a stationary bike as far as going anywhere. Let me give you three scriptures. Psalm 46, verses 10 and 11. Look it up before you go to bed tonight. Have your quiet time tonight as well. Psalm 46, 10 and 11. Then I want to give you another one. Isaiah 30, verses 7 and 15. Isaiah 30, verses 7 and 15. And then finally, Exodus 14, 13. In each one of these passages, when the tendency was to run, the Lord said, I want you to do the exact opposite. I want you to rest in me and trust in me. And that was the promise from the prophet Jahaziel, as he had predicted. You're not going to need to fight at all. And you know, just like that young boy, Willie Myrick, sang a praise hymn during his abduction that resulted in his release. So we see a hymn of praise. What was the response in verses 18 through 22 on the part of the people? If you take the time to just peruse verses 18 through 32, you'll see that they worshiped and they praised the Lord. As they prepared for battle, if you'll read these verses, King Jehoshaphat organized a choir. Did you hear me? A choir. I didn't say a troop. I said a choir. Well, what good is a choir in a day of battle? Of great use if it enables you to stand still and learn to praise and worship the Lord in the face of the enemy. Jehoshaphat organized a choir to march out in advance of their enemy's army. And the choir, if you look at verse 21, notice they were saying, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that he should praise the beauty of holiness. In other words, their eyes were fixed on the Lord, worshiping him and praising him. And they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Let me suggest to you that that was the greatest firearm power that has ever been seen on the face of the earth. Greater than the Hiroshima bomb or Nagasaki or any of the others, we have here the great power of learning to praise the Lord. And when the music started, Israel's enemies, read it, they became confused and they destroyed each other. You need to have good Christian music that you listen to in times of depression and discouragement. When you're facing a battle or you feel trapped, we can glorify God in our hearts. Truly, the Lord, Yahweh, is great and greatly to be praised. And you know the story in Acts chapter 16, the great story. In prison, Paul and Silas beaten. What does it say at midnight when it was the darkest? Acts 16:25. They prayed and sang praises unto God. It says the prisoners heard them. People are going to notice the difference. And then their chains dropped. Some of us are bound by worry rather than by praise. The Word of God reminds us in Philippians 4 that we're to rejoice in the Lord with the spirit of thanksgiving. So as we go to prayer, I know some of you are facing some burdens and trials. And if you're not, a lot of people that you love are in your family. And I just want you to encourage yourself in this and encourage them in the Lord to develop a spirit of praise. It's not just for Willie Myrick. You know, when he was on WXIA and they were interviewing him, he gave glory to God. And just like the prisoners heard Paul and Silas, you had all of Atlanta, Georgia, hearing about this testimony of a young boy who with a praise hymn. And he wound up singing that song. You know, that's interesting. When you respond the way the Lord wants you to, through trials and testings, God will give you an audience. He'll give you a congregation of people that never would have gone to church any other way. That's your parish. There's your pulpit, your opportunity to stand out for the Lord. So let me encourage you. That place might be a radio station or a TV station, or it might be a doctor's office, or it might be a business luncheon. Whatever the case might be, the Lord will give you great opportunity. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we can gather together and praise your name. And Lord, we praise you for who you are and what you have accomplished. We praise you in the spirit of holiness for your power, your redemptive grace, your mercy that endures to all generations. And we praise you, Lord, for your covenant kindness and your covenant mercies. We praise you, Lord, for your word that lives and endures and is settled in heaven for all eternity. And Lord, I just now pray over everyone here in this little chapel for the problems and difficulties that they may be facing. And Lord, grant them Holy Spirit power to praise your name. And in so doing, raise up the powers of heaven to overcome the powers of the evil one. We will give you the praise in what will be accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen.